good morning. Welcome in to the front porch here on this Wednesday. And, of course, Bing Burbiston with us on Wednesdays.
He drifted in here, didn't he?
Yeah, drifted on in.
Kind of paddled my way up.
Said, yeah, just rode on in.
That's right. It's a little damp out there this morning.
Oh, really? I mean, you know, a lot of rain we've had the past, few days and several more days of it, as a matter of fact, so... Might as well be ready for it.
Yeah, the ground's kind of soggy out there. I'd stay in if you didn't have to get out.
Mm-hmm.
Definitely not a day to walk through a hill part of your yard. Keep it level.
Yeah, I understand. I guess some folks also getting some snow in some areas.
Oh, is that right?
Wow. Well, I think we was kind of in the line of the rain, then a little bit up from us to this. I don't know. Kind of toward Lexington area.
Okay.
They had some snow in the forecast.
Wow.
Yeah.
Well, hopefully, that we're past seeing any more of that. I'd rather it just stay, wet and not frozen. And,
well, Sunday might see some snow.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah, possible.
Well, I'll be.
Yeah, you might as well get ready for it. So anyway, there's just a possibility.
Yeah.
That could change between now and then, of course. So.
Okay, well, if it's going to snow, then it's going to get below freezing. Is that right? Is it supposed to get...
Yeah, I usually always heard it was, I think, below 30, I think, or so. I guess the temperature, just that, we call it the atmosphere has to be just right.
And, yes. Well, I'm going to hold off then on what I was planning on doing this week. That was going to be planting some early things in my garden, but I may just wait until next week.
Yeah, might have to.
Yeah.
Might be a good idea.
Really, it's suggested March, not February, to start around our area for most of what I got in mind planning. So
I got you.
Yeah.
Well, Bing, where are we picking up today?
Well, we're going to pick up in 1 Thessalonians 4:9, to be exact. That'll be the verse that we'll start on when we get back.
All right.
We're in the middle of the letters to the Thessalonians from Paul, and we are about to get into... areas of the letter where a lot of questions are going to be answered concerning what happens to folks that die.
Mm-hmm.
And they were really concerned about that because they weren't sure about when Jesus was going to come back. So Paul's going to lay all that straight, and we'll cover that. We'll be able to cover that as when we get back.
All right.
Hello and welcome. I'm Ken Cummins, and here's today's Word in 60 Seconds. The Bible says in Revelation 20, verses 14 and 15, "Then death and Hades were thrown into the lake of fire. The lake of fire is the second death. Anyone whose name was not found written in the book of life was thrown into the lake of fire." A devotion in our daily bread from 1990 said, an elderly TV star was asked by talk show host Larry King about heaven. King prefaced his question by referring to Billy Graham, who had told King he knew what would be ahead. It would be paradise. He was going to heaven. King then asked his guest, "What do you believe?" He replied, "I'd like a lot of activity. Heaven sounds too placid for me. There's a lot to do in hell. There is activity, but not the kind you want for all eternity. It's a place you don't want to go." I'm Ken Cummins, and that's today's Word in 60 Seconds. And remember, the world needs King Jesus.
It has blessed me more than I can express. The encouragement it brings, it's like water. It's like oxygen for the soul.
100% listener-funded missionary radio.
And, of course, good morning. Welcome into the front porch. I like, Ken there talking about, hell. You know, a lot of people, we're in a society now that hates to even talk about hell, but hell's real.
It's much too real to be playing around during this lifetime.
Yeah. And, a lot of people just, they hate talking about it, but it's a real place.
It's not a good thing to, a good subject, that's for sure, for most people.
No.
It can be all too real for those who walk through this life in their own power and their own and calling their own shots and walking the way of that they've determined instead of the way that God has purposed.
That's right.
And God's purpose is for all people during their brief little vapor of smoke lifetime they're on this earth is to search him and find him.
That's right.
And then after they get that, after they acknowledge God, you kind of acknowledge what he has revealed to you in his word.
Yeah.
And in the days in which we live, and it's not just here in America, it's all over the world, God has said, I've given my son.
That's right.
To the whole world.
That's right.
And those who believe in him will be saved.
Amen. Very much so.
Yeah, heaven's real too.
That's right. Heaven's real too. That's right.
Hell is as real as heaven. Heaven's as real as hell.
That's
there's
going
to be two destinations you'll leave. You'll mm-hmm. go to when you leave this earth, and you need to be certain that you'll be residing with your Creator
instead
of separated from Him.
Amen.
Yes.
Amen.
Yes. Last time we were talking about is Paul was warning us in the early part of the 1 Thessalonians 4 and the latter part of 1 Thessalonians 3, not to despise people around you, because every person around you is made in the image of Him.
Mm-hmm.
And we are to hold people in esteem. We hold people above everything, plants, animals, pets. I know people love their pets, but people are the only thing that will transfer into either heaven or hell this lifetime on earth, because the soul is what we have that makes us really the image of God. We're body, soul, and spirit. They're like a triune makeup of us, and that soul is going to transfer out of this realm of time into eternity somewhere.
That's right.
And we were talking about you can choose that today.
That's right. Very true. Very true.
Well, anyway, now we're going into 1 Thessalonians 4:9, as I said before the break. And Paul begins with, "But as touching brotherly love, you need not that I write unto you, okay? For ye yourselves are taught of God to love one another." Okay, so the word taught here in the Greek is a long word. It's theodidaktos, and it's only found here in this verse.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, and it refers to, and it means it's God teaching. It's something that God is going to teach every believer.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think you're going to get this if you're not a believer in God.
That's right.
This is a divine love that will be spread and given to Christians, people who believe in Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Paul said to them in this letter, he said, "I don't need to teach this to you, for ye yourselves are taught of God to love one another." And that's something the Spirit of God immediately implants in us. Loving each other is the groundwork for all the other gifts of the Spirit to start to develop and grow and be healthy in us. We've got to have that divine love of God.
Yes.
And our God is the only God of all the religions of the world who has taught us about His, and here's another word, agape love. That's an unconditional love, a sacrificial love. And that's the same love He expects His children to have towards one another. You know, "I've loved you this way." The command is you love me this way back, and then love everyone in this world the same way. And He gave us an example of His agape love. What did He do with His only begotten Son, Brian? He sacrificed Him on the cross.
Yes.
That's right.
On the cross.
The Bible from Genesis to Revelation is all about His agape love. And His agape love, as we just referred to, is personified by Jesus Christ.
Mm-hmm.
Jesus came to show us the world of God's agape love. Now, 1 John 3:1 tells us, "Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called sons of God or daughters of God. Therefore, the world knoweth us not, because it knew Him not." So there's a separation.
Mm-hmm.
There's a separation between a believer and an unbeliever. This verse tells us plainly that the world will never be able to show us the agape love back that we should show them. There's a separation there. The same love is the love we are commanded to love the world with. Why are we commanded? Well, because the world doesn't know God yet.
Yeah.
Okay. And there was a time, if you remember, that you didn't know God yet.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And the agape love is a way to soften people's heart, even if you haven't shared with them the gospel. Just showing them the agape love of God is a way to soften people's heart around you.
Yeah.
That means you don't, You don't snap at them. You don't curse them. You don't lose your temper around them. You show love, mm-hmm. compassion, forbearance, patience, you know.
Yes.
That's just the way the Spirit of God works. We don't bang people over the head. We don't drag them into the kingdom.
Yes.
We woo them in the kingdom just the same way the Spirit mm-hmm. has done for us. Mm-hmm. 1 Thessalonians 4:10 says, "And indeed you do it toward all the brethren which are in Macedonia," okay, speaking of believers there in that region of the world, "but we beseech you, brethren, that ye increase more and more." So the report to Paul when he was getting word from the church in Thessalonica was the Thessalonians did indeed show the love to all the brethren in Macedonia. That's what he's saying. I've heard mm-hmm. of that. Mm-hmm. And then verse 10 ends with, "We beseech you, or we highly encourage you," be another way of saying it, brethren, "that you increase." Okay, don't be content with the love, the level of love that you have. Increase your love more and more. Mm-hmm. You know, that really kind of reduces you and magnifies or increases the Spirit, because only the Spirit of God can bring that to us. So what does this teach us today about love? When he said that ye increase your love more and more, are we to love each other more today than we did yesterday, Brian? Yes. Mm-hmm. Paul's encouraging us to increase your love more and more. Are we to grow in our love for each other as time goes by? Yes.
Absolutely.
He says that you increase your love more and more. So love in the church is so important.
Oh, yes.
And so expected by God,
mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
because love in the church is an unspoken testimony of God's love to all people.
Amen.
This is something we can't manufacture within the church. We can't make a performance out of this in the church. It has to be real. And if it's real, Spirit-born, it is the unspoken testimony of the Holy Spirit's presence mm-hmm. in your mm-hmm. congregation. And then John 15:12 says, "This is my commandment." This is Jesus speaking to his disciples the last night he was with them, "that ye love one another as I have loved you." Loving one another in the church will be an irresistible invitation to the world around us who desperately mm-hmm. seek love. And the world, mm-hmm. despite how hard they appear to be, are desperately seeking or desperately needing
yes.
love.
Yeah. Yes.
And it's the kind of love that God has bestowed upon us, and it's the kind of love he expects us to bestow
yes.
upon the world around yes. us. 1 Thessalonians 4:11-12 tell us to be diligent in our business. Okay, here's another way of being an unspoken testimony. Or, you know, business could mean whatever occupies our time throughout the day. And why would the verses encourage that? Because we are examples to those around us who do not have a saving relationship with God. Everywhere we go, you know, school, work, wherever mm-hmm. we go,
that's right.
We are to be examples to those around us. And then the verse starts with, "and that you study to be quiet and to do your own business and to work with your own hands as we commanded you." And then it goes on to say in verse 12, "that you may walk honestly toward them that are without," okay, that's in the world, "and that you may have lack of nothing." So again, we are commanded to live a quiet, diligent life, content with what we have,
mm-hmm.
not meddling in other people's businesses. Why? What was the main reason? That we may appear honest. Okay, we're going to appear honest because we are living honestly. It's got to be real. Okay,
mm-hmm.
it's got to be Spirit-born. And to those who do not know God. So we have to present ourselves at all times, not just in Sunday, not at church on Sunday.
That's right, every day.
We are Sunday to the world. You know, we just mm-hmm. transfer what we are doing in the congregation Sunday, sharing the love, sharing the compassion, sharing the concern, we are to transfer that the rest of the week to the world.
Amen.
That's just the way
Amen.
God's designed us to be.
That's right.
So let us not be the one, and I'm talking to myself here, that keeps unbelievers, by the way we live, from wanting to know God, wanting to search God, wanting to get to know more about our Savior. And if we live this way for the reason above, according to verse 12, it says, God will always provide for us. And the promise is, Brian, we will lack nothing.
Mm-hmm.
So that takes a whole lot of stress out of everything.
Amen.
You know, just a quiet, peaceable life, working mm-hmm. with our hands, being diligent about our business, doing it in an excellent way,
yes.
because God is all about excellence and perfection,
yes.
and we are to appear that way. And if we live this kind of life, the promise is we'll lack nothing.
Mm-hmm.
Wow, that's just a great promise to me.
Yes, it is.
This would be a good time, I think. And we don't want to lack any one of these letters to be read this morning.
That's right.
Penned from the heart.
That's right.
The Lord says in Isaiah 55:11, so shall my word be that goes forth from my mouth. It shall not return to me void, but it shall accomplish what I please, and it shall prosper in the thing for which I sent it.
God is active in the hearts and lives of our listening family. Thank you, family, for sharing your thoughts with us. Also, thank you for praying, for listening, and giving to 100% listener-funded Missionary Radio.
Here are today's comments from Missionary Radio's Penned from the Heart.
From Trenton, may God continue to bless Missionary Radio. I've been with you since the beginning. Thank all of you for your dedication. I couldn't imagine a day without you. May God continue His favor on this work for the kingdom. God bless. From Madisonville, thank you for your ministry at Missionary Radio. From Clarksville, I appreciate your faithfulness in sharing God's eternal love through good Bible teaching, music, and good humor.
Thank you for sharing what the Lord is doing through the ministry of 100% listener-funded Missionary Radio in your life.
We'd love to hear from you. Please call our testimony and Penned from the Heart line at 270-962-4055.
Write to us at P.O. Box 1029, Hopkinsville, Kentucky, 42241.
And online at missionary.radio.
And we're so glad you're with us today. Of course, this is The Front Porch in Bing Burbist, of
yes.
course. Thank you.
We left off talking about, you know, just the love that should just exude from people of faith. You know?
Oh, yeah.
The agape love of God, that's just something that's so important to share with people.
I think about also love your neighbor as yourself.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Yeah.
Now, you know, being sometimes loving your neighbor is a hard thing because sometimes you don't have very good neighbors. You know what I'm saying?
Yes.
I know through my lifetime, it almost been 50. I'll be 50 here in April. And just in my lifetime, I know my mom and dad used to move around quite a bit.
Uh-huh.
So,
yeah.
You know, and most time you had pretty good neighbors.
Mm-hmm.
But now
mm-hmm.
I think there was one time we didn't have very good neighbors.
Yeah. Yeah.
It wasn't very good.
Yeah.
And you know, it's hard to love somebody.
It is.
When they're not good.
Yeah.
You know?
I mean, I've had experience with that in the past, but also through experience, you can, I think you can, you know, relate to this is,
oh yeah,
if you have neighbors that are hard to get along with and you get into a state of ignoring them or being hard to get along with them,
mm-hmm.
the problem is never going to be solved.
No.
But if you have neighbors that are hard to get along with and you show them the agape love of God every time, mm-hmm. no matter what they say to you.
Yeah.
No matter what they do,
mm-hmm.
you know, no matter how they would speak bad of you to other neighbors.
Sure.
You just love them.
Just love them anyway.
That puts it out of your hands and puts it into the Spirit.
That's it.
You know, God's Spirit.
There you go.
Because
there you go.
If you show the agape love of God, it's mm-hmm. birthed of God. It's not of you.
Yeah.
And it just unleashes the Spirit to do what mm-hmm. He's going to do.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. But it is hard,
and it's hard to
even show that love to many people that you'll come across each day.
Oh yeah,
I have a story I could share, but I won't do that. But I had an incident early one morning in downtown Clarksville. As you know, I drive by a truck that has Jesus is coming back. I mean, it's big. You can't miss it.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And I got out of the truck, and I had a guy come across the street and just started yelling at me and saying, all you want is to be noticed. You know, all you want is you're just doing that to get noticed. You think you're better than others. And I could have responded back in a shouting match, but I just let the name that was on my truck speak for itself.
Yeah,
I'm not promoting myself. I'm saying Jesus is coming back.
That's right.
You know,
he is coming back.
Yeah. So I gritted my teeth. I bowed my head right there, standing on the sidewalk, and I just said, Lord, just let this pass.
Yeah.
You know, I don't need to get in a fist fight. I don't need to get in a yelling match. That would not be a good testimony.
No.
Yeah.
That's right.
So anyway, talking about the uncertainty in the Thessalonica church, there was an uncertainty. There were a lot of things that got right, mm-hmm. but there were some things that they just were scratching their heads about because Paul had limited time there when he was in Thessalonica. He preached in Thessalonica when he was there, and he proclaimed Jesus as king, okay? They got that. They got mm-hmm. that. Macedonia, though, was a Roman province at that time, and all the people of that area, including the people in Thessalonica, had their allegiance to another king,
mm-hmm.
and that would be Caesar, okay, the Roman king. He was the king of Rome. In Acts 17:7, we're told how Paul's message caused a division among those who heard him in Thessalonica when he was there. And he was only there 3 weeks. And these, his words, they said, all do contrary to the decrees of Caesar, saying that there is another king. You know, that when he started to preach Jesus, this is what many of them were thinking in their head.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Paul then taught them that all the kings of the earth are born in their time, they rule in their time, and they will die in their time.
Mm-hmm.
But the king that Paul proclaimed will one day come back to the earth, and all of mankind and all the kings of mankind will acknowledge him as their king. And he will rule this earth forever and ever. King Jesus, the one that Paul preached to the Thessalonians, is unlike any other king because King Jesus is eternal. You know, he's not confined to one small lifetime on this earth.
Right.
He transcends time. He was there. He was in existence before time began. He's in existence in the period of time we're living in. And when time ends, he's going to be in existence then.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
So that makes King Jesus dominant, you know.
Mm-hmm.
He is. There's no comparison with any other king of the earth. We had Nebuchadnezzar arise, and God used Nebuchadnezzar as a servant. He was a mighty king, probably the mightiest king, and had the biggest empire of his time.
Mm-hmm.
King David arose. We have a lot of kings that have come and gone.
Yes.
But King Jesus is the eternal king.
Yeah.
So the question of uncertainty concerned when the Lord Jesus would return to this earth. The believers in Thessalonica expected him to come and make right all the things that were wrong around them during their lifetime. And many of
mm-hmm.
us people are looking for that today.
Mm-hmm.
This gives testament to the words and the power Paul preached while he was there. The gospel did change their lives while he was there and their way of thinking. And there was a joy abounding in Thessalonica because of what they heard. We've already covered that. There was this joy. And this chapter tells us there was a love among the brethren there that spread throughout the entire region of Macedonia. Paul heard of that love, and he was commending them for that. And now we learn there is an expectancy inside of them mm-hmm. and hope for this King Jesus to return.
Mm-hmm.
And if some of the believers had already died in Thessalonica since Paul preached the gospel there, what happened to them is what they were wondering. That
mm-hmm.
was their question of uncertainty. Was there anything different in their death than those who were not believers in Jesus Christ? Has Jesus already come back and somehow we missed him or they missed him? And if he hasn't come back yet, how will he know? How will we know when Jesus will return? And Paul begins to address these questions of uncertainty in the remainder of this chapter. Okay, so that's what we're going to land in next. Mm-hmm. So the following verses to the end of 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 begins to explain and answers questions the Thessalonians were puzzled over, and perhaps many of us are uncertain of today. In verse 13, Paul says this, "But I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, mm-hmm. concerning them which are asleep." Now, what does that mean, Brian? It means those who have already died. "That ye sorrow not, even as others which have no hope." And that's another thing. When you're at Christian funerals, mm-hmm. you can look at the body that's there.
Yes.
That's just the tabernacle, the earthly tabernacle of the person you love. The person you love is not there. Mm-mm. The spirit and the soul are gone from that body.
Yes.
And we could say they're asleep. Mm-hmm. We could say they're asleep. But they will be awakened, just as all will be awakened one day when Jesus comes back. So those who believe in Jesus Christ and have since died the physical death upon this earth, verse 13 says that we as Christians don't need to sorrow for them. We don't need to sorrow for them mm-hmm. as those who have no hope to ever see them again, mm-hmm. because we are assured we will see them again.
Yes.
And not only see them again, but spend eternity with them.
Amen.
By what the Scripture reveals to us.
Amen.
The very fact the word sleep is used instead of dead tells us that one day in the future, what is going to happen to these people who already fell asleep? Well, I said it just a second ago. They will be awakened. Amen. Out of their sleep. Or we could mm-hmm. say they will be made alive again.
Yes.
And this is when Jesus brings to them their resurrected body and implants in that resurrected body their soul.
Yes.
You know, and then all good things are going to happen. Mm-hmm. Verse 14 tells us, "For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again." Okay. Now, by the way, this is all we need to be assured we will hear his voice when he calls all believers home one day. Mm-hmm. We must believe he died, he rose again, and the purpose for that was to cleanse us
yes.
from all our sins.
Amen.
Now, verse 14 continues, "Even so them also which sleep in Jesus," meaning this is also true for those who have died before us, "they too must believe that Jesus died and rose again. And then all those who believe," as verse 14 ends, "will God bring with him." God will bring with him. Now, this is speaking of Jesus. Jesus will bring with him all those who through the ages believed in God, and then when after Jesus revealed himself to the world who he was, all those who believe in Jesus, mm-hmm. after they're raptured, And this is another study, but he'll take them then to the marriage supper of the Lamb.
Yeah.
Because once he calls us there, we'll be given this perfect resurrected body.
Amen.
We will be in that body. Mm-hmm. He'll take us to the marriage supper of the Lamb. God will clothe us with linens white and clean, and that's just the beginning, folks.
Yeah.
But we'll get back to that because we have a visit from a very special lady.
That's right, Johnny Erickson Tada, Sharing Hope.
Hi, I'm Shauna on Johnny Erickson Tada, Sharing Hope, with a song from Johnny for those who hurt.
You have a maker. He made me this way. My life is often hard, and it's why you will hear me pray. Does God know my name? Does he know my every thought? Does he see each tear that falls? Does he hear me when I call? I have own. Oh, child, he'll never leave me, no matter where I go, because he knows my name, he knows my every thought, he sees each tear that falls, and he hears me when I call. He sees each tear that falls, and he hears me when I call.
Now, you might recognize that tune as Tommy Walker's He Knows My Name, a worship song that was popular quite a while ago, but I changed the words today just a little because I think it's a great song to sing when you feel overwhelmed by pain or problems. You end up thinking, will God help me? Will he make a difference? Will he provide my needs? Does he know how much I cry? Does he even know my thoughts? Those are good questions. And the answer? Friend, if God knows your name, and he does, that's answer enough. It shows that God is intimately involved in every detail of your life. You have his undivided attention, 100% of his focus. The God of the universe hears you when you cry, and that's guarantee enough that he will carry to completion everything that he began in Christ Jesus concerning you. He will help. He will make a difference. He will provide. Over the years, my wheelchair has taught me to leave the providing to the God of providence. Although it's true that my paralysis is often hard to bear, pain can stab into my hip, and sometimes it feels like a Tyrannosaurus Rex chomping down on me, shaking me back and forth. The pain can be so overwhelming. But the years have taught me to trust that God's going to provide. He'll provide grace. He'll provide for me just as he provided for Elijah. You know that story, don't you? With a little oil in the jar and a handful of flour, Elijah outlived the famine. And so will I. And so will you. Yes, the sky may be dark, but even those black clouds contain showers of mercy. This day, God's going to provide grace and a blessed escape. So cast all your anxiety on him because he cares for you. If you're wrestling with fear, let it go. If you're carrying weights that God never intended, cast them aside.
And if you need help doing it, go to johnnyradio.org for resources and encouragement. Rest in the Lord today. After all, he knows your name. Remember, it's johnnyradio.org.
Hi, I'm Andrew Cummins, host of Sunday Morning Praise on Missionary Radio, as well as La Voz de Esperanza. I also host a show called Ministry Spotlight. It's an interview format show that runs for about 15 to 20 minutes and airs each Wednesday morning at 8:30 a.m. So who do I interview, you ask? Local and regional ministries. You either phone in or come into our studio here at Missionary Radio in Hopkinsville, Kentucky. It's an opportunity for these ministries to get the word out to the public about who they are, their history, what they do, and how you, the listener, can support them or volunteer if the Lord leads you to do so. I have featured pregnancy centers, faith-based drug rehabilitation centers, closed closets, food pantries, thrift stores, mental health professionals, Bible drives, churches, and much more. If you're a ministry who would like to be featured on Ministry Spotlight, I encourage you to reach out to me directly via my email address, andrew@missionary.radio. If you want to call us directly to set up an interview, you can do so as well. Toll free, 877-885-9655.
Sharing hope in Christ 24/7.
Missionary.
Missionary Radio.
We've been talking about things of uncertainty in the Thessalonica church. But one thing that is certain, and I think Paul is getting there as we took the break, is the death of Jesus Christ is the assurance of salvation for all who believe. In Matthew 26:28, we're told, "For this is my blood of the New Testament, which is shed for many for the remissions of sins." Now, just by what he said, not all will believe Jesus shed his blood for us in the world in which we live. But this verse says many, many will believe this. Mm-hmm. John 3:16 tells us this, though. Now, it's not many is not what he wants. He wants the whole world to love him. John 3:16 says, "For God so loved the whole world that he gave his only begotten son." But then it also says this, and this comes into what you have to choose during your lifetime, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish. We talked about heaven and hell, mm-hmm. But have everlasting life. Everlasting life is heaven. The
That's right.
That's right. A connection with God mm-hmm. forever and ever and ever.
Yes.
That he should not perish is speaking of hell. That's a separation of God forever mm-hmm. and ever and ever. But God is putting that out there right now.
Yes.
And if you're listening to what he's saying here, you should take that very seriously and explore what you need to do to understand this great plan of salvation and mm-hmm. call upon the Lord mm-hmm. to be your Savior. 1 Peter 2:24 tells us, who his own self bare our sins in his own body on the tree. Now, that's speaking of Jesus, folks. Jesus is the King who's coming back.
That's right.
Jesus who appeared to his people and walked among his people. They rejected him, but he's coming back.
Amen.
And it says that we, being dead to our sins, and that's everyone who's born on this earth under the lineage of Adam and Eve, we are born in rebellion. We are born dead in our trespasses and sin. It says that we, being dead to our sins, should live unto righteousness by whose stripes you were healed. And that's speaking to Jesus' back. That's
yes.
right. So just as the death of Christ is the assurance of our salvation, the resurrection of Christ is the assurance of our resurrection.
That's right.
Excuse me. Now, in John 14:19, Jesus comforted his disciples about his soon-to-be death on the cross with the promise that he would live again after that death. He says this, "Yet a little while, the world seeth me no more." Okay? Mm-hmm. I'm departing from this earth. "But ye see me, because I live, ye shall live also." That's a promise. That's mm-hmm. a promise we'll see him again.
Amen.
Jesus told Martha at Lazarus' tomb, "I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet he shall live." That's right. That's mm-hmm. right. In 1 Corinthians 15:20, we're told, "But now is Christ risen from the dead and become the first fruits of them that slept." And we were talking earlier about those who had already slept. Okay, Christ, they couldn't rise before Christ. Jesus mm-hmm. was the first fruit of the resurrection.
That's right.
"For since by man came death, by man came also the resurrection of the dead." And then here we are, the first Adam and the second Adam. "For in Adam we all died." You know, we're just born with a sin nature
mm-hmm.
and this separation from God. And this goes on to say, "Even so in Christ shall all be made alive." Okay? Being made alive now
mm-hmm.
is something that Jesus told Nicodemus, you must be born again. You have to be born again
Amen.
Spiritually.
Amen.
Okay? And it goes on to say, "But every man in his own order, Christ the first fruits, afterward they that are Christ at his coming." Jesus will rise first. He's the first fruit.
Mm-hmm.
And then in this rapture of the church is going to be afterward they that are Christ at his coming. We will rise then
Amen.
Also.
Amen.
1 Thessalonians 4:15 says, "For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are sleeping." Okay? Verse 15 says, "For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord." By the word of the Lord could be translated in this verse, by the revelation of the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
Paul's answering questions of uncertainty here. Okay? Now, in Galatians 1:11-12, Paul tells us this, "But I certify you, brethren, that the gospel which was preached of me is not after man." Okay? So, man didn't make this up.
Sure, sure.
"For I neither received it of man, neither was I taught it, but by the revelation of Jesus Christ." One thing I want to point out, the very last book in our Bible is what?
Revelation,
not mm-hmm. Revelations. Mm-hmm. The very last book in the Bible speaks of the revelation that is going to come to the whole world. There'll be one
yes.
revelation, and that is Jesus Christ is Lord.
That's it.
He's the King.
That's it.
That's right. Now, Paul was sharing information that he received directly from Jesus with those believers in Thessalonica. 1 Thessalonians 4:15 continues with this, "That we which are alive and remain until the coming of the Lord." Okay. Now, this is not speaking of Jesus' second coming to the earth, but when Jesus comes in the clouds above the earth to call his body home, shall not prevent them which are asleep. The word prevent in the Greek is phthano, which means to come before or be first. So this tells us all believers in Jesus Christ who are alive on this earth when he returns will not precede or go before those who are already asleep, already have passed. So if we're not going ahead of those who've already died, how's it going to work? Well, verse 16 goes on to tell us, for the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Okay. Those Thessalonians worried about their loved ones who had already died in Christ could now be comforted by what Paul has just revealed to them. He said, by the revelation of the Christ, this is what I'm telling you, knowing they, their loved ones who've already passed away, would indeed be first to rise. And if they're alive on this earth, we will follow.
We will follow.
Yeah. So verse 17 says, then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds. They'll be there, and we'll be caught up with them to meet the Lord in the air. And I love the way this verse ends. It's such a comforting verse to me. It says, after we are there in the clouds with Christ, it says, and so shall we ever be with the Lord.
Amen.
Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. There are many believers today who don't believe in the rapture of the church. It's a shame. They can't be comforted by these very same words, but these are words that come from the inspired, infallible Bible that we read.
That's right.
God's given it to us.
That's right.
We have no excuse. You know, everything that we need to know about salvation is written down. And God had this book planted here long before the creation of the earth. He knew he would have to send a son to sacrifice him. He knew it would have to be written down in this complete Bible, total truth that is just a gift.
Yeah.
It's a gift to the world.
It's a gift.
Along with the Son, Jesus Christ, the Word of God is a gift to the world that can bring us the knowledge of the kingdom and rebirth us and connect us to God forever and ever. So the Greek word translated, caught up in this verse, is harpazo. This literally means to snatch or to seize by force. In the Latin Bible, the Greek word harpazo is translated with the Latin word rapeo. Then much later, the English word for rapeo became rapture.
Okay.
Thus, when believers discuss the rapture, we are using a word not found in the Bible. This may be the reason there are many denominations that deny the rapture will happen, but caught up is raptured.
That's it.
That's the way it is. That's the way it's translated.
Mm-hmm.
So the word caught up in your Bible, and I don't know if any translation out there uses the word rapture. I've never read it, but there may be out there, but caught up means rapture. There are some who say because of this we shouldn't teach about the rapture because it's controversial, but whatever you want to call it, caught up, harpazo, rapeo, or raptured, it is undeniable because it is written in God's Word that it will happen, Brian.
That's right.
All of his sheep will hear the shepherd's call when he is there in the clouds. The whole bride of Christ residing on this earth will hear the groom's shout when he is in the clouds.
Amen.
The body of Christ will be called by its head. The head is Jesus, the chief cornerstone, in the air to ever be united with the Lord. 1 Thessalonians 4:18 tells us, wherefore, comfort one another with these words.
Wow. Amen.
Amen and amen. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Jesus Christ. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you for how you woo people into your kingdom. And let us, Lord, be filled with the Spirit, the agape love of the Spirit, where we can bring people into your kingdom in such a loving way, in a compassionate way, with patience and forbearance, just as you have dealt with us. For it's in Jesus' name we ask this thing. Amen.
Amen. Thanks for listening to The Front Porch, and join us again tomorrow morning at 7 a.m.